2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, just after the book of Hebrews. James comes 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon, Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Who was Peter? An apostle. An apostle. And I've got the same faith he had. I obtained like precious faith with all the apostles through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. According to His divine power. Does He have power? God has power. According to His divine power, hath He given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Where are the promises of God found? Right in His Word. You're holding the promises of God. He gave us exceeding great promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, of a changed nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, and here we go, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I'd hate to be like that. Don't ever get a day where you don't realize you're saved. Don't ever forget that you were purged from your old sins. Amen. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. All right, so these things that he's talking about is adding. Now we start with faith. That's everybody's starting point. You don't get into the kingdom of God by joining a church. You don't get into the kingdom of God by being baptized. You get saved, you get into the kingdom of God by faith. That's where we all start. We all have obtained like precious faith, just like Peter had, like Paul and all the apostles. But then we need to add to it. We need to grow our Christian life by adding these next things: virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And this is how our Father is glorified. Because as we add those things, we bear fruit, like a tree, like a plant, we bear fruit. So now we're talking about patience tonight. Patience. Now I've kind of defined patience as the ability to go through trials and troubles without complaining. That's patience. That's what I don't have, but what I want to have. So, as I've already said, and just by way of introduction, we start off with faith, we begin to add to it virtue. Somebody describe virtue to me. What is virtue? Yes, Ediberto. That's right. That is the inner strength to do right. We say somebody's a virtuous woman. It's somebody who has inner strength. They may not be the strongest, smartest, most able person, but they've got character on the inside. And our young men, our young ladies, the most important thing we can give them is not outer beauty, but inner character, inner strength to do right. Amen. And by the way, all the old folks need that too. Amen. Virtue. We add virtue to us. We add fortitude that says, no, I used to give in to that. I'm not going to give in to that anymore. After virtue, we add knowledge. Where does all knowledge come from? Well, they say it's from the schools. They say it's from education, from the internet. Where does real knowledge come from? From the book. The Bible says, I know all more than all my teachers, because I keep thy precepts. You can be smarter than your teacher if you believe this book and you learn this book. This book is 500 years more advanced than science. You know, it was only 150 years ago when they never washed hands when they doctors used to go from opening up a corpse and trying to find out what killed them. And then they'd say, "Doctor, Mrs. Murphy's having her baby." And they would go with the hands coming out of the cadaver and then coming in and say, "Let's help Mrs. Murphy." And the baby would die. And they couldn't figure that out up until 150 years ago. The Bible says, you touch anything that's dead, wash your hands. We take that for granted. Science didn't pick it up until just 150 years ago. Isn't that crazy? So, knowledge. You need to learn that book. Add to knowledge, then temperance. Somebody describe temperance for me. Come on, Lily. That's right, but who should be in control? I should be, right? No. It's all right. I kind of for all of my life, I've sought to control myself, and I failed. So temperance is bringing myself under Holy Spirit control. Where He, yes, and it's His work in me for me to yield to. And that's temperance. Is that easy? It'll be one of the hardest things you ever do, where you bite your tongue, where you don't do what you want to do because you know the Holy Spirit's saying, "Shut up. Don't do it." That's temperance. We know how to lose our temper, don't we? We got to learn how to keep it under control, under the Holy Spirit's control. Now, but I still need something more. He goes on and he says, add to your temperance patience. Why? Why? I list four things because my flesh doesn't yield very fast. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't yield to it. It takes. Sometimes I'm like, no. And then after a while I go, okay. My brain doesn't learn God's wisdom fast enough. Patience makes up for a lot of stupidity. Sometimes you just wait, God will help you, whereas if you're impatient, God will have to pick up the pieces. Amen? This heart doesn't know how to soften quick enough. Just doesn't know how to just melt. And my prayers don't get answered fast enough. So what do I need? Patience, so I can wait on God to change me, fix me, and make me like Him. So, patience, and I got lots of definitions, and I like looking at things from different angles, but patience is what Now listen, this is me adding to my life. It's when I'm in trouble, when I'm facing trials, that I bring patience and I use patience when I don't have anything else to use. I wait on the Lord when I want to run, when I want to quit. I decide to wait on the Lord. It's what I direct towards every one of my troubles, every one of my trials. And as I wait, I will find strength. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Why? Because they learn to wait. They learn to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on your timing. You make all things beautiful in your time. I might as well wait on you. Patience. What is biblical patience? Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. John, I think I started over there. This time I'll start with Nathan. Proverbs 13, 12. What is biblical patience? All right, so when you're waiting, it's deferral. That means delay. And when hope has delay, what happens to the heart? It gets sick. It loses strength. Patience is needed when hope is deferred. See, we all get upset when things don't work like we want and when things don't act like we need them to act. So I need my heart not to get sick, and the way that I get to there is I learn patience. So what is patience? Patience is a hard word to live by. I mean, how many of you are patient? We're Europeans. We're some of the most impatient people. The only more impatient people are Americans. Amen. But we're impatient. We are just stuck on, it's got to be now, when I'm gone, It's just amazing, and it's very hard to live in a patient mindset. We know what patience means, but think about it. It means waiting and not getting upset while we're waiting. Did you ever hear a guy when he's waiting on his wife? Patience is waiting and not getting upset while we're waiting, gentlemen. The opposite of patience is haste, stress, worry, anxiety. Patience has no stress. We're not very patient, are we? Signs of that you're impatient are irritability. Man, we're all dead, amen? On edge, stressed out, frustration, that's signs that you don't know how to just wait. So, delay is something we don't like to endure. I mean, it's kind of like going to the dentist. Delay is like the most painful thing for some of us, and it shouldn't be. How many times has your impatience got you in trouble? You ever made a wrong choice because you jumped ahead? As a Christian, we must learn patience. Now, here's the truth. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's the next word? There's your patience. That's where you put up with stuff and it hurts. And you still stay on. You still stay forward. You still stay by the stuff. It's long-suffering. That's the word for patience there. It's a fruit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, now, patience is difficult because it's not in our nature. Not. And can I say it this way? You have to learn it. You don't just say, today I'm going to be patient. It's like saying, today I'm going to know algebra. No, you have to learn it bit by bit. It doesn't just come to you. You add it. You learn it. Patience is only developed by troubles, delays, and disappointments. That's our school. That's class for the Christian. Troubles, delays, and disappointments. When patience is not learned, there's only one thing that will take its place. When you have not learned patience, bitterness will win. Bitterness will take over. Patience is a humiliating attitude. Nobody can walk around and say, I am patient. That doesn't work. You know you're patient when you've learned to let somebody else be in charge, when you learn to let somebody else get all the glory, and you're just doing everything you do now for the Lord, and you don't worry about anything, because there's no confidence in patience. There's only Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what makes it difficult, because I want to say, I'm patient. It's like saying, I'm humble. It doesn't work. Now we're into part two. That's all from last time. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and Dean, would you read verses 2, 3, and 4? Whew, that heat is hot. Is everybody happy? Can I turn it off? Thank the Lord! Oh, man. Whew, okay. I was losing patience. Yeah, amen. All right, James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Dean, please. Now look at what patience does. You see, patience works on us. Patience has a work. Like a potter taking clay and putting it onto the spinning table there, and he begins to form something. He works on that clay, and what works on us is patience working on us. And he works on us in trials. He works on us to perfect us, to prove us, and to please God. But I want you to understand, The work of patience is something you have to allow to happen. What's the hardest word in that verse, in verse 4? What? Wanting? No. Letting. I don't want to let it work. I mean, you just... patience works on us sometimes, you know, in ways that we don't want. And the Bible says, let it work. You can't speed it up. You can't help it. All you can do is yield to its perfect work. And what God wants us to do is to learn to obey patience. What is patience? Patience is that still small voice that says, don't say a word. But it worked. Don't do anything. But I want to run. Patience, let her work, and you just learn to listen to it. Now, God has designed patience to work on us. Look at Romans chapter 8. She has Romans 8, verse 28. Wow. We know that all things work together for good. How long does it take for all that good finally to come to pass? We don't know. So we got to learn patience if we're going to experience that verse. Amen. So God has designed patience to work on us so that some good comes out of our lives. How many of you want some good to come out of your life? I had enough bad come out of my life. I'd like to have some good to come out. Well, there's a verse that'll tell me God will work everything out for good if I let Him. So, what are the three ways that God uses to work on me? First one is troubles. Sarah, if you'll do Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, God uses troubles. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Wow. So a lot of people give up hope because way back when they were in tribulation, they didn't let tribulation produce patience. And then they didn't let patience produce experience. What do they look for when you go to sign up for a job? Do you have any experience? All right. You know, experience will produce hope. When you've been around the block a couple of dozen times and you've seen God supply your need and seen God answer prayer and seen the joy, seen how the joy of the Lord will always be your strength, after and you've gone through all of those trials and you've learned to be patient, that's when you walk out of every trial, out of every valley, out of every pit, and you say, I still have hope. I learned to keep my hope. So God uses troubles, tribulations there. Second thing, look at James 5, 7. Shane, did you want to read? No, shoot down. James 5, 7. Okay. So we're supposed to be patient, but we're supposed to be patient like a husbandman. What's a husbandman? Probably hadn't heard that before. Who wants to help her? What's a husbandman? It's an older word. A farmer. So when a farmer plants the seed in the ground, does he go, come on? Is that how he acts? No, he knows he has to wait first for an early rain and then a latter rain and then he can harvest. So, what should we do? We learn to be patient through time. And sometimes it's a lot of time. Sometimes it's not just 3 months. Sometimes it's 3 years. Sometimes it's 30 years. We have no idea. That's why the Bible says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of who? Hey, James was writing this how long ago? 2,000 years ago, sometime around 60, 70 AD, and he says, let's be patient until the coming of the Lord. They've had to wait nearly 2,000 years. We're still waiting today, aren't we? Be patient. No matter, time teaches us patience, like a farmer. Third, through constant testings. Look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12, Emriel. Still in James. James has a lot to say about patience. James 1 and verse 12. So the key word there is to endure. What does enduring imply? Time. All right. So God has designed patience to work on us when we're going through testing. Where we feel like, how many have ever said, Lord, is this a test? Amen. But that's where patience needs to be allowed to have her perfect work. She's working on us. Now, I think this is cool because there are plenty of examples of patience in the Bible. The first one is Job. You're in James chapter 5, verse 11. Yes. I forgot. Judith! You have no idea what the last few days are like in my brain. And when it shuts down, I just look and I go, where am I? James chapter 5 and verse 11, please. Judith, I'm sorry about that. Those people who stay the course, who endure and don't quit, don't give up, don't complain and gripe and give out to God, we found them to be happy people. And then James refers to one of the greatest examples of patience in the Old Testament, and his name is Job. Can we go to Job chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, 22? Eileen, Job 1, verses 20 to 22, just before Psalms is the book of Job. So when we say charged God, he's saying, Elihu who was writing this, says he didn't blame God. And when he did that, you see the patience of Job. And really, I'm not going to sit down on the ground, but he shaved his head, he ripped his clothes, and he sat down and he said, I can go nowhere, I'm just going to wait on God. And he does the entire book, doesn't he? And you see the patience of Job through there. It doesn't mean that he had a sweet spirit the whole time. He struggled with why this was happening. But he stayed waiting on God. And you saw the end of it. If you read the end of Job, Job ends up twice blessed what he was before the trouble. Because he stayed patient. He endured. And he shows an example of, so that's what happens when you patiently wait on the Lord. Job is a great example. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Lily, if you'll read Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at Abraham as a great example of patience. Hebrews 6. Is it 6? Why would I say 6? Let me see if that's correct. 6:13, it should be. 13 through 15. Yes. I had to think whether it's chapter 11. Thank you. And 15. All right. What was the promise, Lily? That's right. And when God made the promise, how old was Abraham? Do you remember? When he made the promise, or even back before that? 75 years old. There's hope for us all. Most of us haven't hit that age yet. But if 75 was when God made the promise, do you think that Abraham and Sarah thought, this time next year, we're going to have a baby? I think they thought that. And then when it didn't happen, oh, maybe this time next year we'll have a baby. And it didn't happen. And in the third year, well, maybe this time next year. And it didn't happen. How long was it? It was 25 long, long years. And the Bible says there in verse 15, so after he had patiently endured. Now, you know God's got blinders on men because, honestly, the grace of God overlooks his impatience. Does Abraham get a little impatient? Yes, he and Sarah try to fix the situation with Hagar anyway. But overall, God says, you know, after all that enduring, when he patiently endured, he received the promise. A good example of patience. How about Noah? God said, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. Now, God could have said, it's over, you're all dead, here comes the rain. But he said, it's going to be in 120 years. There in Genesis chapter 6, God says, man has got 120 years, you better build an ark. Think about it. He and his three boys are going to build an ark that's 400 some odd feet long, 90 feet wide, 60 feet high. This is a monumental task. And the Lord says, you got to get it done in 120 years. Now, he gets it done in 100. But you got to understand, every day he's building an ark and it doesn't rain. So as people come up and says, you still building that ark? Why are you building an ark again, Noah? It's going to rain. You've been saying that for 40 years, Noah. It hadn't rained yet. You know what Noah was? Patient. He says, you know what? It hadn't rained yet, but it will. That's patience. That's patience. You look out and you see your friends and they're having the good time. They've got the money. They've got the girls. They've got the cars. They've got everything going for them. You can look at it and it says, it'll turn. Fools make a mock at sin, the Bible says. And you ought to know the wages of sin is death. So you look at all that stuff and you look at all that. You go, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say, I'll just stay patient. I know at the end of the day, they're going down and I'm going up. You patiently wait. Noah's a good example for us to be patient. How about Joseph? How long did Joseph get separated from his family? 13 years. Do you think he ever thought he'd ever see his family again? No. I don't think he believed that he'd ever see them again. I mean, that was the day before internet, before GPS. It was just impossible to ever see them. But he stayed faithful, didn't he? You know, patience ruled his life. He didn't lash out. Even when his own brothers appeared before him, he could have said, this is going to be good. I'm going to treat them the same way they treat. No, he had a patient character, didn't he? Joseph's a great illustration. How about Jesus? 1 Peter chapter 2. Go to the right. Find 1 Peter. Do you want to read? Nope. All right. Eddie? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It should be 2. Sorry, it's 2:23. I don't know how that got to. It's 2:23 in my notes. Somehow that got wrong thing. So it's chapter 2, verse 23. I'm telling you, that is. You know what it means to revile somebody? Not just mock. He means to blast them. Yell at them. Give out to them. Blame them. Everything you can throw at them. And what does it say? He reviled not back. When he suffered, he took it and he committed his life into the one who judges righteously. That's patience. Somebody's mistreating you, give it to God. Say that with me. Somebody's mistreating me, I'm supposed to give it to God. Because Jesus Christ did. He's our greatest example there. Exodus 32. Show you Israel. Exodus 32. Genesis, Exodus. Chapter 32 and verse 1. Tests. No, when the people saw, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that word. All right. So, Tess, where was Moses? Okay, he's in Mount Sinai. So all of the people of Israel that had come out of Egypt, they're at the bottom, and what are they doing? They're waiting. Well, not really. They're kind of bored. And they're waiting. But when Moses delayed to come down, what'd they do? They decided to make their own God. Impatience can really mess with our lives. It can get us to make some stupid decisions. So, they're a bad example, amen? They rush right back into idolatry. You know what? In your Christian life, can I be real plain? I remember when I got saved, 17 years old. You got saved when you were how old? You were saved at 17, right? I was hearing that. 17 was a good year to get saved, evidently. I know several people who were saved at 17. When I got saved at 17, I wanted to grow so fast. I wanted to grow in Christ. I was so tired of how the devil had taken me the wrong road. I wanted to race down the right road. I wanted to learn all the Bible that I could. I just wanted to live at church. I was just grasping to catch up with what I saw were all the other Christians and how mature they were. That's dangerous. Because I was setting myself up for a fall. I was setting myself up that when things got delayed, and I've seen it happen countless of times where people, maybe they got saved, I hope they did, and they got all excited, but things when things didn't happen fast in their life, they were back into the idolatry, back to the drink, back to sin. They fell back because they were impatient. They were looking at their life going, it's not happening fast enough. God wasn't giving me a wife. God didn't give me a job. God didn't take care of me like I thought He was. And then they give up. That's exactly what Israel did. They said, God's not working fast enough. Be careful. Be careful. Because we got plenty of examples of impatience and the cost of impatience. Israel was one of them. One more. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, Lazarus is dead. And, wow, this is crazy. In verse 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother because he's dead. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What is she doing? She's charging God foolishly. She is blaming Jesus Christ for delay. She said, if you hadn't delayed, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You know what Jesus says? You forgot who you're talking to. I am the resurrection. Oh, I know you're the resurrection, she said. But she about learned that, you know what, if Jesus wants to take his time, let him take his time. That's what Mary and Martha learned. Let God work out things in his time. I get grieved thinking about why God doesn't do this, why God doesn't answer prayer, and I think this is such a heavy burden for so-and-so, this is something so hard for them to carry, but then I slap myself and I say, Lord, but you know best. You know the timing. Those are great examples, aren't they? Now, areas where we need patience. You could just put it in three letters, all areas. But areas that need patience, especially in tribulation. Now go to 1 Peter. Let's see, Dina, if you'll read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. 1 Peter 2, 20 and 21, please. We need patience when we're going through trouble. Anybody else like that?
Yeah.
Yes. So we should follow his steps, especially in the area of patience. Now, if you are guilty, and somebody gives out to you, you take it patiently. That's a good thing. But if you haven't done anything wrong, and somebody gives out to you, and you take it patiently, that's a better thing. Amen? That's a better thing, because that's what Christ taught us. So in our troubles, when trouble is going on, we say, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to get? And the Lord says, no, but it's just between me and the devil. Let's get through it, like it was with Job. When you're going through the valleys and the battles and the troubles of life, learn to wait on those troubles to pass. Somebody said their favorite part of the verse, the favorite part of the Bible was, and it came to pass. Whatever comes into your life, it's going to pass on, so let it pass. Second thing that we need patience in, especially lots of, is in delays. Psalm 27:14 there, Brother Tony. Psalm 27:14. I hope you're making some mental notes tonight. Psalm 27 and verse 14. You know, when my mom had to repeat something, that meant I better listen. And the Lord's repeating something. He repeats what thing twice here? Wait. Wait on the Lord. When things are taking too long, when heaven is silent to our prayers, learn to wait on God. Because He will answer. You believe God answers prayer, don't you? If you don't, then don't waste your time praying. But if you believe that He answers prayer, add patience to your faith. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Psalm 40. Let's see. Michael, you want to read Psalm 40? You got your Bible with you? Okay, Martin, you want to read Psalm 40 and verse 1. Wow. You know, we like the fact that I called on the Lord and He answered me. But David makes it different. He says, I called, but when I asked, I waited patiently too. So what is it we need to add? We need to have faith and belief when we pray, yes or no? But what else do I need to add to my faith when I pray? Patience. Learning to wait patiently. Because He will answer. It's the third thing. Injustices. When things just aren't going right, that's when you need patience and wisdom to know what to do without being destructive and too aggressive. When things aren't right, when things aren't happening right, and they're unjust, what do we need? Patience. Letting God fix what we cannot. Because usually if we get our hands into it, we'll mess it up worse. What about battle? 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Marcus, if you'll read 2 Timothy 2, 24, 25 and 26. Watch these verses here. When it comes to spiritual battles, when you feel like someone is not interested when you're given to the gospel, when somebody's not listening to you, be patient with them. Look at 2 Timothy 2:24, 25, 26, please. So striving is a fruit of impatience. Arguing, pushing. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be apt, ready, excited about teaching them, and patient in meekness instructing them. So in a spiritual battle, you want to wrestle, you want to fight, you want to win. The Bible says, take it easy. Approach it patiently. You've got the truth. Let the truth work. Amen? Obedience. Hebrews. In times of obedience. Hebrews 10:36. Trevor, you got your Bible? All right. Fregs, you got a Bible? Somebody got a Bible? Anybody got a Bible back there? All right, Fregs. Wow. Fregs, do you find it hard enough to do the will of God? Okay. You know what makes it harder? After we've done the will of God, then to wait on God. We've got to mix patience back into every area of our life. Especially when we're trying to obey God. And then we wait. One more. And giving up. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Damien? 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Be patient not to give up. That's what I want to actually get you to see. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Just a few pages back. Okay. A little bit different than what I expected here. Scott, read 3:5 in your Bible there, the King James Bible. So, instead of, when I feel like giving up, what do I insert into my heart? Patience. And look what he says. Let the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let Him give you patience when you want to give up, when you want to quit, because the Thessalonians had actually been given a false truth, a false doctrine that the rapture had already occurred. And they were like panicking and said, no, still got some time, still things have to take place before it happens. Don't worry, be patient. When you feel like giving up, add some patience. And go, I'm going to wait a little longer. You know what? The difference between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples, some of them went with Jesus pretty far along the way in Gethsemane. But you know what it says about Jesus? When Peter, James, and John were sleeping, it says about Jesus, and he went a little further. I think those are marvelous words. He just kept going. He never stopped. You know, as a Christian, don't let anything stop you from doing right. Don't let anything stop you from wanting to stay pure. Don't let anything get you to give up. No matter how long it takes, just decide, I'm going to stay the straight and narrow. That's where patience comes in. How do you add patience to your attitude? The first thing is you let God develop it in you. Allow God to put it in you when you're going through hard times. That's when He adds it. It's in the hard times that He's adding it to you. Learn to pray through the trials. Hebrews chapter 12, go to the right, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Kim, if you don't mind. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wow. So I like the look. It says, run the race with patience. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Where does my attention need to be? Looking unto? So when you're in a race, and the race is kind of taking a little longer than it should. Pregnancies do that, by the way. 9 months doesn't seem like very much when it starts, but at about 6 months, you're like, get this over with. Look unto Jesus. Pray for patience through whatever you're going through. Learn to pray through what you're going through. If you're impatient, what are you realizing when you're impatient? That you're not praying very much. And you haven't asked God for patience. Third thing, how do you add it? You learn to work patiently. We read this verse, but I want to look at it again. Kevin Masters in the back, chapter 10, verse 36. Are you with me, Kevin?
Yep.
All right. Amen. Did you know the only time that success comes before the word work is in the dictionary? Think about it. If you're going to have a church in Carrigaline, you're going to have to build that church patiently. You're going to work at it, do the will of God before all the dreams start coming together and it just takes off. Amen? If you're going to win a soul, you're going to have to do it patiently. If you're going to read and study your Bible and learn your Bible, you're going to only do it patiently. You know God's will is to read your Bible and learn it. Amen? You're going to have to work at it. Work at it first. If you're going to get the victory over sin in your life, you're going to have to do it patiently. You say, I failed, I didn't succeed. Good. Keep working at it. Because you will. Because you're patient. Not because you're magical. None of us walk on water. We all have to work at the struggles that we go through. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, it must be easy for you. Wake up! It's no more easy for me than it is for you. It takes work. So you work. And you do the will of God, and you wait patiently for Him to turn things around. You work patiently. Something that's missing in our efforts, however, is the praise. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Who else is back there? Let's see if I missed Barry. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I want you to see a real tiny little word. Right, what's the hardest word in that verse? Now. No. In. It doesn't say, it doesn't say be thankful. It actually goes really to the heart and says, in the midst of everything you're in everything, give thanks. I'm not there yet. But if we learn to thank God for everything, I don't care if it's a cup of water. I don't care if somebody just is nice to you. Just be thankful. Every morning you wake up and you see the sunrise, be thankful. I think that develops, I believe it with all my heart, that develops patience. It adds patience to our attitude. Hebrews 11:16. Look ahead. Keep your hope up. Always be looking at what God has promised you instead of where you're at, okay? Hebrews 11:16. So when he's talking about them, he's talking about all the Old Testament believers. They weren't all caught up in the dirt called Palestine and Israel over there. They were looking for something way out in the future called the New Jerusalem, a city that God had prepared for them. And that's how come they were patient, because they had something better to look forward to. Make sure you constantly look ahead. Stop looking down. You know, a lot of people, this is how they go through days. This is how they go through the day. You know how other people go through their life? Constantly looking back. Constantly remembering all of the problems, all of the failures, all of the victories of the devil. You know, we look ahead. We look for a city made without hands. Stay looking ahead. And then one last thing. Desire the crown. James 1:12, we go back there, and this will be a great thing. Amanda, James, just a few pages to the right, chapter 1 and verse 12. If you want to add patience to your daily attitude, you need to yearn for, desire the reward that God has for patient Christians. Go ahead. There's a crown to be won. Got to keep your heart right, though. You lose the crown if you lose your love. You lose your crown if you quit. The worst Christian in this room is not the one that sins. Are you listening? The worst Christian is the one that quits. Amen, amen, and amen. You endure temptation. There is one of the five crowns in the New Testament for every believer. There's one for he that endures temptation and stays faithful. Amen. Why don't you desire something more than what the government can give you, more than what the Olympics can give you, more than what the banks can give you? Why don't you look forward and yearn for a crown and say, you know what, I can't be a preacher, I can't be a pastor, I can't earn the crown of suffering, I may not be able to earn these different crowns, but I can be patient. And I can start to learn to endure. You ever felt like God was taking too long? Truth is, God always takes longer than we want. But He's always working everything out beautifully. Thankfully, there's some serious rewards for waiting. You know, when you learn to wait, I can't explain it. It is a spiritual law. When I learn to wait, I find strength. When I'm impatient, I wear out. And I wear everybody else out around me too. You ever been around an impatient person? You ever been around people who are just panicking? You just pull back because they're going to tear you apart. When you learn to wait, it'll actually prepare you for another race. It'll teach us to trust in the Lord. Isn't that our goal? To walk by faith. Wow. And it'll show the world that you are a strong Christian. When everybody else is panicking, and you say, it's okay, my Father's in charge. Amen. God has a perfect plan and a purpose in making us wait. You know, it's a hard thing being a teenager. Amen? You know why? Because you're kind of in between. You're not really human yet. You know? When you get to 20, then people will listen to me. No, we won't. Don't worry. Nobody's going to listen to you at 20 either. But you're at that in-between age, and you're so impatient, and you want to have a girlfriend. You want to have a guy friend. Boyfriend, you want to have a car, you want to have all these things, and you're desperate for it, and that's the devil activating the flesh in you. Listen, God is a perfect way that He's working your life when you are waiting, and that's true for us older folks. When He's forcing us to wait, He knows what He's doing. But there's something that you can't have today. It's something you don't have to wait for. Oh, forgiveness. You know, He doesn't go, you know, I'll think about it, Ledbetter. No. You know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, right then and there shall be saved. I like how Jesus talked about the rich, the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee's praying and the publican's over there bowing his head, repenting. And Jesus said, that man went home instantly justified. No delay. Aren't you glad there are some things that God does delay, but there are some things He doesn't delay? Amen. Let's stand. Let's find prayer.